Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. As we enter election season, we're thrilled to bring you a special series featuring the 2025 candidates for the Alumni Association Board of Directors. Throughout the month of April, we'll be sitting down with the candidates to hear about their vision for the Alumni Association, their experiences as brothers of Kappa Kappa Psi, and how they plan to foster great engagement and connection among alumni. Each candidate will have 15 to 20 minutes of questions and discussion, so be sure to stick around for the full episode. Each episode will feature 3 to 4 candidates. I'm your host for the series, Sav, chair of the Archives and History Subcommittee and host of The Tempo. These interviews will give you a chance to hear directly from the candidates before you cast your vote in the upcoming election. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to The Tempo so you don't miss a single episode. Elections for the AABOD will take place on May 1st, 2025, and in order to participate, you'll need to renew your membership by April 25th, 2025. Be sure to check your email and visit the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association website for all the official election details. Let's get started. Alrighty, let's welcome our first candidate, Carrie Anderson, from the Kappa Iota chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. So my name is Carrie Anderson. I am a life member of the Kappa Iota chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, where I was initiated in the spring of 2016. After graduating, I've been active in the Midwest District Alumni Association and on various national committees on the active and alumni side. Professionally, I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I am a law clerk to a judge.
Awesome. And can you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Yes, certainly. So I am open to serving in any position that I would be asked to serve in. However, I do think that 2 positions that I would be best suited to serve in are the Awards and Activities Director and the Programs and Professional Development Director. If asked to serve as the Awards and Activities Director, one of my big goals would be to continue the work that the Awards and Activities subcommittees have been doing this year. Specifically, the Awards subcommittee has been working on developing an award to recognize our local alumni association leaders. Our LAAs and our DAAs do fantastic work that really fuel the National Alumni Association, and it would be really incredible to be able to recognize the work that those brothers are doing. In the activities portion of that role, this biennium, we have launched some big new initiatives, specifically the jazz composition competition comes to mind. The subcommittee members on that have done tremendous work. I cannot believe how much they've been able to accomplish on that. And so getting the first one up and running is obviously the hardest step to make. But then being able to evaluate how that goes at this national convention and what we want to do similarly and differently in the coming years to really allow that program to continue to thrive and become even better. As for the Programs and Professional Development Director position, one thing that I would be really interested in doing if serving in that role is helping to create alumni-focused programming that mirrors some of the new initiatives that have been taken on the active side over the last few years. I have been lucky enough to be asked to serve on the National Active Programs Committee since its inception 4 years ago. And in that role, I've had the chance to help implement a lot of the new programming that has come out, such as the Founder Circle Leadership Development Program. I think it would be really incredible to have a program that mirrors the lessons that are taught in that, but applies them further towards the alumni life and where we are all at in our lives at this point. Similarly, the Ritual Performance and Education Committee has put out a lot of new programs over the last several years for continuing ritual education. So finding ways to put on lessons from that program for our alumni, both inside and outside of convention, and then building on those lessons for new ones that are specifically alumni focused, talking about ways we can continue to apply the ritual in our own lives. Finally, one goal I would have if elected, no matter what position I would serve in, would be to continue to build on the work of the Jurisdictions Committee. This year, the Jurisdictions Committee was added as an ad hoc committee to kind of work on some of the proposals that have been floating around for the last few years. I think that that committee would really serve our members well to become a standing committee so that there is a continual process for review of what is and isn't working at a constitutional structure. We don't want to make too many big changes at any time because the point of the Constitution is to, you know, provide us some stability. But in order to have a dedicated group who are able to not only propose changes to our Constitution, but also to the overall national Constitution, and evaluate proposals that are being put forth by the active members and the Board of Trustees to see how they would impact the Alumni Association and make sure that all of those changes are supporting us all where they need to be supporting us.
That's awesome. Do the positions of chair or vice chair of the AABOD interest you at all?
While I would be happy to serve if asked, given that it would be my first biennium serving on the AABOD, I do think that there are some other positions that might be a better fit for me at this point, just because I want to make sure the AABOD can strive for the highest together, and I think that there are some other wonderful candidates that might be better suited for that position.
Sure. So you talked about a couple of your goals. If you chose one, how would you maybe track or measure the success of that goal?
So thinking about the goal of the Jurisdictions Committee, I think to start, there would need to be both long-term and short-term goals. So at a short-term level, I think establishing that is a standing committee is step one. That is the first big goal to be measured. And then step two, that members are appointed to that committee, because it's great to say on paper that it exists, but making sure that there are actually people able and willing to serve in that would be measurable step number two. Then at a broader level, going to the specific points of change, I think it's important to not measure success by the number of amendments that are passed or the number of amendments blocked, because that just gets to kind of a quantity over quality thing. I would measure success as a non-quantifiable way by looking at, are our members happy with the changes we're proposing and are the discussions being had productive? Then I think what we could do to get more data to kind of see how that's going, this biennium, the Jurisdictions Committee has allowed for members and non-members to propose changes. I think when we get to the end of a cycle of constitution changes, asking those members who submitted proposals to come back and ask how they felt the process was about getting submissions who worked for them and how well they felt engaged in it, and looking at things that way. I do also think, while I have stated that quantity is not the most important measure here, one tangible quantifiable measure that we could use is looking at the number of submissions received from members outside of the board, because that would allow us to look at how well we are reaching our members beyond just the people in the room having those conversations, and use that as a way to assess, are our members really eager for a lot of big structural changes? Are our members aware of how to go about doing that? And things like that.
Great. Thank you so much. Carrie, could you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was either fraternity related or within your professional career, and how you determined its effectiveness?
Yes. So one initiative that I am incredibly proud of that I co-led with two sisters of Tau Beta Sigma at the Midwest District level, we launched our very first ever consortium commissioning project. We were able to work with a local composer in the Minneapolis area to get a piece of music commissioned. That piece will be being released later this summer. And then what we did was we were able to use money that the Midwest District had fundraised to pay for some of those upfront costs and contribute to this development and growth of music. And then the past couple months, we opened up to schools across the country to join and take part in this at $100 per school to get access to an exclusive release of a new piece of music that they are the only ones who get to play for a certain number of months, and for a concert band for a school year, they get to be the exclusive members. And so I am really, really proud to say that the consortium project has 25 bands from over 10 different states who were able to join it. I measure that as a success because of both the quantity, the diversity, and the quality of the schools that are joining us. So at a base level, being able to get that many schools to see what we were offering and be interested in it was incredible to see. Within that, many of the schools that took part and signed up have no connection to Kappa Kappa Psi or Tau Beta Sigma. So we were able to kind of grow and outreach not only our organizations at large, but what the Midwest District is able to offer. And then within the bands that have joined, we have middle school, high school, college, and community bands who are all excited to play this piece of flex band music that is going to suit a wide range of bands. The other thing that I measure about this to really show that this was successful is that this program has been supporting the purposes and the pillars of both Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma, which is really important as a joint alumni association to make sure that we are serving both our organizations. We are promoting women in band by supporting a live female composer. We are supporting the excellence of musical attainment, and we are ensuring the future membership of our bands by ensuring that there is quality music for kids of bands of all shapes and sizes to be able to play. Because if we want people to join college band and join Kappa Kappa Psi and become Kappa Kappa Psi alumni, we need to make sure they don't quit band in middle school because they're bored because their piece of music doesn't have anything fun for them to play.
That is absolutely amazing. My next question for you is, imagine that you are talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this current time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association? How would you articulate some of the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
So to start with, I think that the best way to bring back brothers who maybe aren't engaged is in those one-on-one conversations. So being able to start one of those one-on-one conversations is a great first step. What I would do is I would start by telling them about my experience in the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. I graduated from college in the spring of 2020, which was a very difficult time to form community. I found that community in the Alumni Association. I joined my first Midwest District Alumni Association committee about 2 months after graduation, and I still talk to many of the members from that committee on a regular basis. They are some of my people that I hold dearest to my heart. I think that this organization is going to take you back no matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter if you needed a week off, if you needed a decade off. You are still our brothers, and we want you to come back. I, just this past weekend, as of the time we're recording this, I guess I'm not exactly sure what day this will be released, I had the opportunity to attend the Southeast District Convention. And it was my first time going to a convention that was not a national convention or a district convention. And I told a few people I was coming, but I went in not knowing a ton of people who were going to be there. And I know from that, it can be kind of scary to go into a convention or come back to a meeting or whatever level it is to jump in and be like, well, I've been gone for a while or I've never been here as an alumni before. I don't know anyone. I don't know what it's going to be like. I have never attended a Kappa Kappa Psi event without someone, either literally or metaphorically, taking my hand and saying, you're with us now. You are one of our people. And I promise if you come back that as your people, we are going to be there for you. Shifting to the other part of your question on the financial aspect, I think that a little goes a long way. As an alumni, you are hopefully employed. Being an adult with a real job is really scary. I just did that this year after graduating law school. It's my first year having a big girl job, as I like to say. And it's not that we expect everyone to join the giving program at $500 a month. That is not sustainable for most people. But think back to that time when you were an undergrad and what a small travel grant could have done to help make attending convention a little bit easier for you. You don't have to be the one to completely fund that yourself, but by either participating in a targeted giving program, the giving program, or just paying your dues, your money helps really support making sure both our active and alumni members are able to attend events in person and engage in programming. And there is not a lot of places where you can get the programming that Kappa Kappa Psi offers to its alumni members at an amount that works for your budget at this moment. We offer so many incredible programs like the Building Bridges, Building Brothers program. Your donations are an investment in your future as well as the future of this organization.
Awesome. And my last question for you is about Dr. Rohr's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium, which is the AEA way. There are five main points to this. First, continuing the KK Psi journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all of the work that we do. In total, his vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So how would you help support Dr. Rohr's vision as an alumni association director?
So looking at Dr. Rohr's vision for the next biennium, I think he has a lot of great, really broad goals. To start with, I think it would be important at the beginning of the biennium to sit down with Dr. Rohr, the entire AABOD, and the rest of the National Council to really see how they envision the alumni both supporting the active members in this goal, in these goals, and mirroring them on our own programming and offerings to our members. I think the goals and purposes, while it is his kind of fifth bullet point, is the best place to start. I think outlining at the beginning of something where you're going is the strongest way to get there. When I was chapter president at my first chapter meeting, I had each of my executive board members pick one goal for the year, and I asked them to summarize that goal in one word. We then broke up into small groups and did an activity to brainstorm different ways that we can achieve that goal and made sure to kind of make it fun and silly because it's the first meeting of the year and you don't want to bore people with too much business in August right after band camp. So I think that there are similar ways that we could engage in that kind of behavior on the alumni association level and kind of delegate to each member of the AABOD one specific part of reaching those goals and purposes together. As for continued engagement, I think people will engage when they see themselves and see something to gain from our programming. I'm here because I see myself in this organization and I see a lot to be gained from our programming. But making sure that we are reaching out to each of our six districts and to our local alumni associations to bring those members in, as well as those members who maybe aren't connected with one of the DAA or LAAs, so that we've got a full range of members, and making sure those people are represented on our committees. Our committees do a ton of work throughout the year. And one idea I have to make sure that committees are able to attract members who maybe don't have the traditional 9-to-5 schedule that a lot of members have to make committee meetings work is to look into ways that we can have certain committee type votes be held without active meetings. This year on the award subcommittee, while we meet occasionally, we do a lot of our business through email and through Google Forms and reading and voting. I think by figuring out at the beginning of the bienniums which goals and which activities need those in-person conversations more frequently and which can be done in other ways, and by actively advertising to our members that when they sign up or fill out that they're interested in a committee, that we have a range of time commitments and types of time commitments so that people are able to find what works well for them. And then finally, bringing joy into what we do, I really think comes from making sure that we're having fun while doing the work. There are some days where stuff's going to be a slog, and that's just the way it is. But if we can remember really why we joined, why we started this journey in the first place, I think that we will be able to keep the joy in our work and in our long-term goals and really enjoy spending time and fellowshipping with one another while we get the work that needs to get done.
Awesome. Thank you so much for answering my questions today, Carrie. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Yes, certainly. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My email, however, is a really great way to reach me. My email is Carrie, Carrie, at kkpsi.org. I am also happy to have members text or call me. My phone number is 763-614-4703. I plug both of those because as an Anderson, my social media can be kind of hard to find. So if you'd like to find my social media and you're having a hard time, I've got different usernames on everything because it's the Anderson struggle. Feel free to shoot me a text or an email and I will go ahead and just add you.
Thank you, Carrie. Do you have any final thoughts or comments or anything like that for our listeners?
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to what I have to say. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or outrages, please let me know. I really would just love the opportunity to serve the whole nation of our Kappa Kappa Psi brothers this biennium and perhaps beyond on the Alumni Association Board of Directors. Kappa Kappa Psi is truly my favorite place. It is the one place where I can go into a room, whether it's virtual or in person, and I can really truly be my fullest self without any filter because I'm kind of a lot. And I just hope that if given the chance to be elected, I can help create spaces like that for all of you. And just thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for your vote.
Awesome. Thank you again, Carrie, for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with me, and I know all the listeners also really appreciate it too. All right, and let's welcome our next candidate, Abraham Anthony III from the Theta Nu chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Abraham, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Let's see. My name is Abraham Anthony. I am from the Theta Nu chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi back in the early 1900s. I am a former teacher. I just retired recently from teaching vocal and theater performing arts. And now I am the business contact for Federal Express. So I'm doing something totally different outside of my wheelhouse. And I am also the president of the Atlanta Alumni Association of Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma, which also reminds me, I am a member of Tau Beta Sigma as well.
That's awesome. And can you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that kind of define your candidacy?
Well, the platform that I am running on is basically just membership, trying to gain more alumni membership, trying to remind everyone that it's still okay to serve after graduation. And once we were, because most people think, oh, well, I'm not in band anymore and I'm graduated. So what's there for me? What's left for me to do? There's nothing for me to do. You know, it's for the younger generation, but they need us in order to survive. And in order to do that, we have to just remind everyone that it's still an honor to serve after graduation. I graduated over 20 years ago, almost 30. And so I've still been serving throughout that entire time. And it's been life-changing for me because it reminds me of a daily reminder of why I joined the organization. And it's also refreshing for me to see new faces come in and see new faces graduate and see new faces still continue to serve afterwards and have that same passion and drive for the organization that they did when they were actually serving as a college student. And now on the other side of that, being that I'm part of the Recharge team and I've I was a lead advisor for the Edward Waters University petitioning group to come in this past year and seeing those faces come through and just witnessing at District last week, seeing them thrive at District and have that energy and that passion for the organization was really, it was heartwarming. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So are there any specific director roles that you're interested in serving? And do the offices of chair or vice chair of the AABOD interest you?
I am interested in serving where I'm needed. I will gladly serve as chair or vice chair. Like I have that, but I just want to continue serving. So I am wherever everyone sees that I'm a great fit for, then I'm more than happy to fill that role and to continue to serve the organization that's given me so much.
Awesome. And so talking about goals a little bit, what is one goal that you would make a priority as an AA director, and how would you maybe track or measure the success of that goal?
One of my goals is definitely growth and membership and also just continual rededication of ourselves to the organization. And just tracking that is just through various programs. We've had membership drives, and I try to do that with my organization as well, now with AAA, and just going out there and you know, I want to see us as a whole achieve and thrive. And that's one of my main goals. So just making sure that being a visual representation of what the past leaders have laid out for us and continuing on their legacy and just really focusing on that development of the organization and making sure we continue to thrive and continue to move forward and make sure that we continue to be all inclusive for all of our members. And you know, we have many different types of members and different brothers that believe in different things and different brothers that that have different values. And everyone's input and everyone's ideas are necessary to continue to have us thrive. And I think everyone should feel like they are a vital part of the organization and they should feel heard and they should feel seen. And they should feel like someone actually cares. And that's my goal. Marina did a very good job for me with that because me kind of coming into this side of the organization, she listened to whatever I had to say, even though I'm older, but it's still that having that opportunity to speak and have someone listen and have someone have that conversation, that dialogue back and forth, made me more passionate about my organization. And so I want to be that person for someone else, the younger generation coming in and wanting to continue to serve.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there about being heard. I think it's really, really important for that for people to feel like someone's actually listening to them. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was either fraternity related or within your professional career and how you determined its effectiveness?
And in fact, the program that I did was I wrote a program for our middle school kids to receive grants so that we could continue to perform. You know, the money is not always there for those that younger generation to perform, especially in the middle school. So writing the grant was really a passion of mine, and having that grant accepted so that we could put on different shows and they help fund that for the kids, and seeing the kids' eyes, you know, light up, and to see now that 8 years later, they're still doing the same program that I started is, to me, it's a success. But even if it was just 1 year of giving kids the ability to do and perform and to enjoy music and theater and just the fine arts in general, was a win for me.
That is absolutely amazing. All right. The next question I have for you is a little bit of a scenario. Imagine that you are talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged within the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association? How would you maybe articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially as alumni?
Which is actually a really good question, because this has happened a lot recently at Southeast District, trying to also recruit for AAA and just recruit alumni across. We did a workshop letting the students know they're still serving after college, after graduation. And with that, we outlined the different various programs. The same things that you enjoy now is still available for you after college. There's community bands. There's different marching band festivals that you can volunteer for. And there's giving back. We did water drives for AAA, where we sponsored 5 different universities, where we raised money to purchase water for the marching band. And we were able to give each university at least 10 cases of water for their programs. And so the same things what I was telling the brothers that were graduating this and the sorors that were graduating as well, the same things that you enjoy doing now are the things that you can do afterwards. And it makes a bigger impact because you are now seeing it from the other side. You're seeing the need and you're able to provide for that need, where before you were just the person in need. You were just the band in need. So now that you're seeing the need and able to do something to provide that need for those, you know, the members and the bands, it's a different feeling. And in order for our organizations to continue to thrive, we have to be an active participant. And if we are not active participants in the organization still now today, then our organization is going to end. There's going to be a part where it's just going to disband. But the organization needs the participant of the alumni to serve as officers, to serve on committees, to serve on in various programs and in various facets in order to keep the actual actives engaged, to keep them doing the things that they need to do, as well as doing it within the ramifications set within the guidelines, so that, one, we keep them out of trouble. Because, you know, sometimes we do things and we don't think about the consequences. And then afterwards, like, oh. So, but us have going through that and being that constant reminder saying, hey, watch this or don't do this, do it this way, and serving as that guide for them, not necessarily saying that we're going to tell them this is what you have to do, but we need to guide in that next generation. They need to see from our perspective, as far as like, why did we join? You know, we've also, we've articulated throughout the years, the why did we join? And this is now still part of that why. Your why is not just why you're in college. Your why is after college. Your why is throughout a lifetime. This is a life organization. This is not a now organization. And so the benefits of that is that, one, that personal satisfaction of seeing your organization thrive, as well as you are making a difference in someone else's life. you are making a, you are saving that someone. We've all had that, we've heard that brother say that this organization has saved me. But in order for the organization to save you, there had to be that someone there that still gave back so that that make that possible for you to be saved. And so why don't you now give that back to the organization by continuing to be an active member, you know, on the alumni side? And it's not all monetary things that you have to give. It's time, it's effort, it's a hello. It's about you, the general public seeing you, and it could be the first time they hear about Cap Kappa Psi. They see Cap Kappa Psi. And you are that representation that we need to continue to have to open the eyes of those who don't know and who could benefit from joining our organization.
Those are some, yeah, those are some really, really great points. I completely agree with you. All right, I got one last question for you. And this one is about Dr. Rohr's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium, which is the AEA way. It has five main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all of the work that we do. So in total, his vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So my question is, how would you help support his vision as an alumni association director?
By those that his vision for us going into next biennium is amazing, because that's our foundation. That is what we have been founding on, and that's how we have thrived thus far, and that's how we can continue to elevate ourselves going into the future by, you know, having that open communication with everyone, by pushing the membership drive, by pushing the volunteerism. Because again, when I said before, we always think it's about money, and it's not always about money. A lot of times it's just about your time, that 10 minutes, that 5 minutes, that 1 hour, that half a day that you can give to assist, you know, someone within music, assist a chapter to do different things. That's what we have been founded on, and I am 100% behind that, and that's what I would make it as my mission, to continue to have that move forward and to especially have us elevate ourselves. Because again, we have to remember, there's so many different facets now of music stuff, now that we're opening ourselves to jazz side, to the jazz side, but there's so many different components of music that we can include that can benefit from the organization, from begin it from having that that unified bond within the organization, and that can help that, you know, to elevate music even more. We're a very important part of, we're not just the servers of the band. You know, we are the directors, we are the composers, we are the players, we are everything. We are the non-instrumental players, as far as like the flag team and the dancers, the auxiliary units. We are everything. And if we all work together, there's no way they can stop music growth. There's no way they can cut music out of schools. There's no way that, you know, that child that is desperate and need of music to survive would not have that. And so I would work tirelessly with him and with the organization to make sure that each one of those goal points are met, and each one of those, each one of our members are receiving, alumni and active in the same, receiving the benefits, receiving the emotional, you know, support, receiving the the drive that is need, and that person in their corner to say, hey, we are making a difference and we're going to do this together. It's not just an I or me, it's a we. We are going to do this together, and we're going to definitely strive for the highest in everything that we do.
Amazing. Thank you so much for answering all of the questions I have for you today. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
They're more than welcome to send me a text, give me a call, send me an email. My phone number is 318-527-9809. It's always open. And my email is abeanthony12@gmail.com. And then you can always find me on the Atlanta Alumni Association website as well. And just my door is always open. Feel free to call, text, send me an email, ask any questions you want to ask. It's an open book.
Do you have any final thoughts or comments or anything like that for our listeners before I let you go for today?
I am one of those that can honestly say that Kappa Kappa Psi has given me a purpose in life. And I am one of those that believe strongly that I am now, it's my duty to give back. And that is what my goal is. That is what my desire is. That is what my mission is. And be it on the board or not on the board, I'm going to always give back to an organization that gave me so much. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Abraham, for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. Let's welcome our next candidate, Kelton Ashcraft from the Zeta Xi and Lambda Pi chapters of Kappa Kappa Psi. Kelton, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I was initiated fall 2011 at Tyler Junior College in Tyler, Texas. It's where the Zeta Xi chapter is located at, the first junior college chapter in the fraternity, might I add. So not to be bragging or anything, but that's pretty cool. I was involved with that chapter for about 3 years while I was working on my associate's degree, as well as a certificate in public administration, which was my backup, just in case music education did not work out. But here I am 6 years in as a band director, and I am not looking back. So it's been pretty good. After I left from TJC, I went to UT Tyler, which is where the Lambda Pi chapter is located. The chapters are really close together. It's just a difference of a few miles between the two. So I took about a year off from being an active member before I was asked to come and serve as an active member of the Lambda Pi chapter by the brothers there. And I was active there for about a year. And then after I graduated in 2018 with my bachelor's degree is when I really did all the alumni side of things. I was heavily active in SWATA. I served on their board of directors for about 2 years as their KKSI co-mail, where I helped really flesh that position out a lot more than what it was before then, because at the time that I was elected, I was only the second person in that position. So it was very much green and needed a little bit of development to make that a viable position for SWATA. And then that was essentially the last thing I was doing on the alumni side of things before I was appointed into my current position as the awards and activities director.
Awesome. And could you take a few minutes to share your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Since I have been serving as awards and activities director, I've been trying to make sure that all the awards are getting the attention that they need, as well as making sure that the inaugural season of the JCC in conjunction with the IJB that's going on, make sure that is as successful as it can be and make sure that it's getting the proper attention on all of those things. As well as everything else that falls under the awards and activities umbrella. With that being said, if given the opportunity to serve a full term as opposed to the 5 months I've been currently serving on the awards and as the awards and activities director, I would like to continue on those things. I know one of a few things that I've started working on right now and have introduced to the awards committee is awards focusing on the local alumni associations, trying to figure out an award or a group of awards that can be used to recognize our brothers that are in the local alumni association tier, as well as the work that they do, continuing to look at our awards to see how we can make our awards better serviceable for our brothers. The other aspect of my platform that I focused on is the music outreach program side of things, where the main goal that I have for that would be to create an alumni band that would serve to recognize the upcoming anniversary that the Alumni Association will be celebrating, very much similar to how the Centennial Alumni Band was for the 2019 National Convention. That was, I was involved in that band, and it was really helpful for me because it really introduced me to everyone that I know. In fact, some people that I'm serving on the Alumni Association Board of Directors with from that experience. And that was very instrumental, pun intended, for me to be where I'm at today.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's move into a couple of questions that we have for you. First up is, in which director roles are you interested in serving, and do the offices of vice chair or chair of the AABOD interest you?
Referring back to my platform, I focus primarily on awards and activities, as well as the music outreach stuff, although that does not mean I would not be opposed to serving in any other role. I just mainly focused on those two positions because at the time that I was filling out my platform, those were the ones that I thought I had the skills to be able to fulfill those positions well and make sure that they are given the attention that they needed. So I think my least favorite one would be for finances, mainly because I have a hard enough time keeping up with my own money. I don't want to be keeping up with anybody else's money. So that would probably be the least, that would be the office that I have the least amount of interest in. Programs would probably be another one that I could see myself doing, even though there are a lot of us that are interested in the programs role. I might could see myself doing LAA director. I don't know. Like, we'll see how it goes. But if I had my pick, I would probably go with awards and activities first, and then the music outreach director or any of those other positions outside of finance is second. So that's the way I would look at that. As far as vice chair and chair, considering that I've only been serving on the board of directors for about 5 months now, and I'm still very much green to the national level of side of things, I would yield to someone else to fill that chair position, although I would not be opposed to serving in a vice role if I am called to do that. During my time as an active member, I was vice president of both Zeta Psi and Lambda Pi at one point. So a vice position would not be new to me. And I feel like that would be if it came to that, I feel like I would be able to serve that position if it came to that, which now I'm just realized I said that twice in a row, but it is what it is.
All good. All good. You talked a little bit about some of your goals. If you chose one, how would you measure or track the success of that goal?
I think the one I'm going to focus on is the awards and activities director route, since that is the one I am most familiar with. With the awards we have currently, I know that, you know, it's making sure we get enough applications and making sure that they get advertised and the attention on them, so that way we can recognize these brothers that are so deserving of these awards. And when it comes to the LAA awards that I have brought up to the committee and that we're trying to get at least the beginning grunt work on in the coming months, it would be to make sure that the parameters of those fit very similarly to what we already have established in the awards realm of things, as well as focusing on making sure which ones that we can critique. Like, for example, Brent Cannon Music Achievement Award. Unless you have been teaching in the secondary side of things, when it comes to secondary education and music education more specifically, not a lot of people fall in under that category. So whether that is to tinker that award to make it more accessible to those, or create a similar music award that celebrates all of music education or something along the lines of that, not just focus on secondary, but also focus on post-secondary, primary, elementary music, on those things and stuff like that, because those are just as important. So it would be to, if elected and during this term, that upcoming term, and I'm in that position, I would be really charging the awards committee to really take a look at our awards and see how we can best accomplish those goals.
Yeah, sure. That's a great point. I didn't really think about that myself with some of the awards. Alrighty. So imagine that you're talking with an alumni brother who is not actively engaged in the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association? How would you kind of articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
For me, I'll use me as an example in this here. So professionally, I am a band director. I am the director of bands of a 2A band program in the state of Texas. I have roughly, at this time, currently 48 kids involved in my high school band. That is 8th through 12th. And then I have probably about the same number, if not more, actually, probably more like 70 to 80 kids involved in my 6th and 7th grade band, collectively, if I were to put them all together. And that is what takes up primarily most of my time, is making sure that my program is getting all the attention that it needs and making sure that my students are set up for the success as much as possible. And in turn, making sure that band program is as successful as it can be, if not more so, going forward. And I'm only in my first year there, so it's been more or less establishing things the way I want it to be and seeing what I can and cannot do this first year, as well as seeing what areas I can improve on. Outside of that, I don't really do anything else. Outside of the Alumni Association side of things. So to talk to a brother that is kind of hesitant, but like, I don't know if I would be, I could see myself being active in the Alumni Association or something like that. It's work, but I feel like it is work that helps us all keep that connection. To use the phrase that gets passed around a lot, you are alumni a lot more longer than you will ever be as an active member. And so it is important to keep those relationships and foster those relationships so that way you have a group that you can talk to and kind of associate with outside of your professional daily life. You may not be around those people on a daily basis, but those people are just as important. Like, I mean, I live in Dangerfield, Texas, which is a spot in the road. And all of my closest friends are nowhere near me, at least 2-3 hours away. So for me, it's being able to have all those people that I can talk to and just kind of bounce ideas off and stuff like that, whether it's fraternally related or professionally related or just simple, hey, how are you doing? That's the important side of thing when it comes to the Alumni Association. You don't necessarily have to be as involved as some of us others are, but even being involved in just a little bit helps you keep up to date on what's going on in the realm of the fraternity, as well as opening yourself up to being able to have those relationships with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally understand the staying connected to people when you may not be close to them. Alrighty, our last question. It's a little bit of a long one on my part, but Dr. Rohrer's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium is the AEA Way, which has five main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all the work that we do. So in total, this vision is really about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. How would you support his vision as an AA director?
I would make sure that everything that we are doing aligns with his vision for the upcoming biennium. I know I've gotten to know Nick for a little bit, especially being involved with the friend and advocate program, which currently, while not also doing my job professionally, as well as doing my stuff for the awards and activities director, I'm also the advising for the Land of Pi chapter to hopefully get them brought back into the fraternal side of things. They went inactive the same year that I graduated. There is some stuff going on there, but I am working on that as well. So I am familiar with what Dr. Rohrer wants and what he sees at a base level for what he wants to do with the fraternity. And I would make sure to work diligently that anything and everything that we are doing are in alignment with those goals.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelton, for answering some of our questions today. If anyone wants to reach out to you, where can they find you? How can they connect with you?
my email address is probably the quickest way to get a hold of me. kashcraft@kksci.org. That is the email address that I use for anything and everything related to the fraternity. I'm also on Facebook, social media, Instagram, all of those things. Facebook is the one that I use the most. I look at Messenger consistently. So if you can also Facebook message me, I would not be opposed to that. And those are my primary sources of social media and contacting and stuff like that. So any of those platforms would be an easy way to get a hold of me to ask me questions in regards to whether it's my platform or just a simple, hey, how you doing kind of chat. So
perfect. And before I let you go, do you have any last comments or anything like that you want to let our listeners know?
I have really learned a lot, and I have really enjoyed my time, even though I've been serving in an appointed role, being appointed to the awards and activities director position in this short time. And I would like the opportunity to continue that because I feel like I have a lot that I can contribute to the Alumni Association and the fraternity as a whole.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kelton, for joining me today. Let's welcome our next candidate, Brittany Biberston from the Kappa Beta chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Brittany, welcome. And would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your fraternal history?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Brittany Biberston. Thank you for having me on the Tempo. I am a life member of the Kappa Beta chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi at Clemson University. I was initiated in spring 12, and I graduated from Clemson with a animal and veterinary science degree with a concentration in pre-vet med and a minor in wildlife biology. Currently, I work as a veterinarian nurse at a hospital where we specialize in dental and oral surgery. I live in Denver, Colorado with my husband, Ryan, my mom, Karen with a C, and our 8-month-old Riley. And fraternal history, while I was active, I served as the corresponding secretary for pretty much the majority of my time from fall 12 up until I graduated. There was one year where I was not the corresponding secretary, and that year I was the VPME of the chapter. I also served as the ritual chair for a semester while I was active, and I also served as the delegate for 3 district conventions and one national convention. Let's see. And then outside as an alumni, I served as the CETA programs chair from 2018 till 2022. And then from 2021 until 2023, I served as the Alumni Association's programs chair. And then last biennium in 2023, I was elected to serve as the LAA director, which I've been doing since. And then this biennium, as well as serving as the LAA director, I've been able to be the advisor for our ad hoc jurisdiction committee. And then I've also been able to serve as an advisor on the expansion, membership and expansion committee for the national committees. I think that's everything.
Awesome. Could you take a few minutes to share your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
So my platform, I really focused on one of two options or goals that I have to serve on the Alumni Association. Currently serving as the LAA director, I would, if elected back, I would absolutely love to continue to serve as the LAA director. I feel like that my time with the LAAs has been great. I've loved being able to sit down and talk with new brothers to figure out how to create new LAAs. We've established 7 this biennium, which has been awesome. And I have a couple of ideas that I'm currently working on with the LAAs that I'd like to continue to work on for the next biennium. One of them being the District Alumni Association Exchange Program. Basically, what I would like to do with that is the officers in our DAAs, try to work with them and TBSAA to take a officer from each DAA and send them to a different convention just to help out with networking, meeting goals, and then having their expansion to see how other conventions work. And just build a better bond between our district alumni associations. So that is something I am currently working on right now that I would like to see put into fruition in our next biennium. Continue to improve our convention planning with our DAAs. With the current LAAs, I'd also like to see more in the Midwest as well as the Western districts. We are doing phenomenal with our Northeast, Southeast, and Southwest and North Central LAAs, but currently we're a little low on numbers in the Western and Midwest area, so I would like to try to increase those numbers as well. If I am able to be elected back on, but not serve as the LAA director, my other goal would be to serve as the chair of the Alumni Association. More kind of broader, bigger pictures I have for the Alumni Association. We're coming up on our 20-year anniversary in 2027. I'd like to take between this NatCon 2025 up until then to build up to that celebration. So with that celebration, I like to focus on, of course, increasing our membership numbers, having different goals and ways to get our alumni a little bit more engaged than what they are currently. We're starting the Crown Pearl goals, like what Nationals does as well, which I think is awesome. We need to be a little bit more lined up with what Nationals is doing. So I want to kind of lean into that. I would love to be able to work with Nick Rohr as during his presidency to just make sure that the Alumni Association is supporting the national leadership and vice versa. Also work with the Board of Trustees to be sure if there's anything that we can help with them or they help with us, just to have that mutual working relationship. Overall, just as the chair, I would like to just lead the Alumni Association into striving for their highest and into a better tomorrow.
Awesome. Awesome. Jumping into those questions I have for you, you answered the first two as far as what roles would you be interested in running for and if you'd be interested in chair or vice chair. So we're good there. You mentioned one of your goals, but I'm curious, how would you track or measure the success of your goals on the AABOD?
Sure. So probably the best way is just simply by numbers. If I were to be elected as the chair, again, one of my biggest goals as chair would be to try to bring in more alumni into the membership. One of the first things I would do is take the first week in office and just sit down with the membership chair and look at our numbers. Bring in Dr. Rohr in to take a look at them as well, and just kind of see what the data is showing. You know, are we having a plethora of younger alumni and we have a huge gap versus not as many older alumni, vice versa? You know, just kind of really sit down and figure out what exactly is going on. Let's just use the example that maybe we have a huge amount of newer alumni that have graduated anywhere between 1 to 5 years. We have an okay amount of 5 to 10 years. We are missing a huge amount of 10 to 15, but then all of a sudden, once we get to 15 to 20, we have another huge amount of alumni. My first goal will be to really hone in on that 10 to 15 that we're lacking in and look and see what exactly was going on. Did we nationally just have a less amount of alumni graduate during those years or leave their college and universities during those years? Just to kind of use the data and measurements to see where can we improve and what can we do. And of course, once we hit those or find where we can improve, just going back, reaching out, you know, sending letters, reaching out to alumni that maybe were in the alumni association, but then all of a sudden stopped renewing their dues and stopped wanting to come to conventions. You know, reach back out, take the time to say, you know, what made you decide not to be a part of KKSI anymore? And what can we do to show that we still want you with us and we still want you to be a part of this, and to have them feel included? You know, so that, well, I guess long story short, is just using just basic numbers and data to kind of help meet those goals. Another goal of mine would be to also, as many do, we want to increase our funds, because if we have more funds, we're able to provide better programming, we're able to give back more to Max Mitchell, young alumni, older alumni, develop professional grants, you know, make just make the fraternity better in general. And unfortunately, we live in a world that there is rarely anything for free. So also within the first couple weeks of becoming chair, you know, have that moment to sit down with the membership chair, look at our numbers, see what we can do, sit down with our finance chair, look at our numbers financially and go, okay, what are we doing? What can we improve on? And just get better numbers. And then I think as a goal overall for the board of directors, I want to be able to lead all of us to become better leaders and in ourselves. One of those goals being, after serving a biennium on the board, everyone is really great at what they do individually, but it's almost like we get stuck in our own little circles in our own little worlds, and we're not all together working towards the same goal. So I really want to kind of redirect how we're working as a board of directors and make sure that we're all in the same focus, the same line, as well as, you know, taking in the focus of what the national team is doing, and just making sure that we're pretty much all on the same page. I would love for the board of directors to be a part of the National Alumni Association of College Bands. That way we can go out there, we ourselves can become better leaders, we can take workshops to figure out, you know, what's the best way to work with alumni in music industry and outside of music industry, get the name KKSI out there, get the name KK Alumni Association out there as well. I would love to have us be more present and be representatives at TMEA, Midwest Clinic, even looking at other areas. I know Colorado has their Colorado Music Education Association. And I would love to be able to just pop out there and say, hey, we're here. We are here to serve. We're here to give back to the community and the bands. What can we do for you? And by doing that, maybe hopefully help build up some numbers in the Midwest, reach out to the Western districts, reestablish some of the lost areas. I say lost areas, but some new areas in the Southeast, Northeast, North Central, just across the nation, all across the board. I know, of course, these are a lot of things that many of it, we're not going to see those results within the next 2 years, which I'm perfectly fine with. I am perfectly fine with getting something set up so that in the long run, in the 5-year goal, 10-year goal, the small work that we've done now will it'd be a huge benefit for our leaders in the future.
That's awesome. Okay. Next up, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was fraternity related or in your professional career and how you determined its effectiveness?
What is a good one? I guess I would say I'm going to use just the different way of sitting down and working with the LAAs this year. Whenever I took over this role, I knew that a lot of the LAAs, which this is no issue whatsoever because this is something I love about our LAA program, we allow the ability to have the flexibility for them to be their own person, or to be their own LAA. I've really enjoyed for any of the newer LAAs or the current LAAs, whenever there's been a problem, it has not been immediately, we're just going to figure this out via email. I'm on the phone with them. I am meeting with them multiple times over Zoom, and just sitting down and having those more one-on-one conversations with them to strengthen their LAA. One, I guess, a good example of this, and I'm going to pick on Ben, is going to be the Delta Iota LAA. So they became an LAA about, I guess at this point, maybe like 3 months ago, I guess, once the tempo, this episode comes out. And they have just been phenomenal. He is, I always pick on him, but he's constantly sending me an email going, hey, I've added more brothers. I've added another one. We've got more graduating seniors. We've got this and that. How's this looking? Is everything going well? And I truly want to say, not to take credit, because he is a phenomenal leader in and of itself. So that gives praise to him as well. But I think having from the very beginning, having that sit, those multiple sit down conversations with him and the rest of the Delta Iota AA chapter, or chapter, excuse me, the AA Association, to be able to sit down with them and kind of set up that goal to become a better LAA. Because at the end of the day, the main goal is to make sure that they strive for years and years to come.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Imagine you are talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged in the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them as the best reason to join the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association? How would you articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
So I would, just ask them why they wanted to join the fraternity at the start of it, whenever they were active. Was it because they enjoyed serving the bands? Was it because their best friend just happened to be in it? Just what was their reason? I would like to kind of reignite that thrill for them and see exactly what their reason why they joined KKSI. If it was because they love serving the bands and they even just flat out say, you know what, I loved serving this, my school's band. I love this school's band. I'm a part of my school's alumni association with their band and everything. So I would just say, you know what? You can join the alumni association. This gives you a different route to access many other brothers that are here to serve college university bands. You're able to reach out to that service that you want to, and wear that extra help to make sure that your college band succeeds. If they run across the issue of, well, I would love to, but I'm very limited on money and I don't know what to do. I would love to join, but I can't spare the $50 or $75 to, give back to or to pay for my membership. I would point them in the direction of the giving program to say, you know, you can do a small amount. It builds up to a life membership for you. And then, you know, you can have your gift yourself a life membership and then kind of roll on with that. And then also just point them in the LAA tier. You know, there are plenty of brothers that say, you know, I would love to be a part of the Alumni Association, but I don't have the time and maybe I don't have the money. You know, that's kind of a reason why we created the LAA tier, so that they can still be a part of the Alumni Association. And maybe if they are focused more on their local band or local college or university, that still gives them the ability to be a part of the KKSI Alumni Association, but also allow them to give back to their own band. So I would point them in one of those two directions.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you. All right. And our last question, it's a little bit of a long one for my part, so bear with me. Dr. Rohrer's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium is the AEA Way, which has five main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all the work that we do. In total, this vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So how would you help support his vision as an AA director?
I think, again, just kind of going back to my personal goals as the, if I were to serve as the chair, would, because those are all very grand and very much needed goals for our fraternity, I work better on a address something at a smaller scale and then let it grow into something bigger. So I would say just taking focus on what any of those points and just really deep diving in, looking at the small details. Again, just trying to figure out like the enjoyable of our fraternity. You know, how can we make the fraternity enjoyable, not just at conventions, but the in-between conventions. So maybe focusing in on having more meetups or programming that maybe doesn't involve meeting over the computer, maybe getting something set up to where I know the Atlanta Alumni Association will do an ITB takeover at Six Flags. So maybe marrying something like that just to help with that specific goal. But again, just really more so focusing, taking one of his 5 points and just diving in and just being flexible and knowing what can we do to for all of us to come together too, like he wants, elevate the fraternity.
Awesome. Brittany, thank you for answering all of our questions today. If anyone would like to reach out to you, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My email address is biberstonb@kksci.org. If you can reach out to those or that to talk about my platform. Or if this sparks that maybe you want to start an LAA or have LAA conversations, you can also reach out to me at laa@kksci.org because I am still on my goal way to create better and stronger LAAs until my term with this is done. So,
awesome. Do you have any final thoughts, any last words that you want to tell everybody listening?
No, I definitely, please absolutely reach out to me. I do have a lot of ideas and goals. There is one project that I have been kind of working on privately, but I hope to have it go live. I kind of want the alumni to create a marching band so that we can be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It is a big goal of mine.
Okay.
It would be something where I'm looking at in 7 years because Thanksgiving would land on our Founders Day that year. So it's something that I have in the back of my mind that, again, working on smaller goals for the betterment of the future, that is something I'm really, truly invested in. So if anyone wants to talk to me about that and help get that created and move on, I would absolutely love to chat.
Sounds awesome. Thanks again, Brittany. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This concludes the first episode of our 2025 AABOD candidate interviews. If you have any questions about the candidates or the election process, please visit the Elections tab on our website at kksiaa.org. A big thank you to Victoria Wilkinson for editing these podcast episodes weekly, ensuring our listeners enjoy the best conversations with each candidate. As always, we'd like to extend a special thanks to the National Alumni Association and Kappa Kappa Psi National Honorary Band Fraternity for making this podcast possible. We'll have 3 more episodes featuring the remaining candidates in the coming weeks, so don't forget to tune in for all the information you need. Have a wonderful day, and as always, AEA.